Get ready to get your nerd on.
Kick the week off right with games, gadgets, and general geekery from the ladies of the Electric Sisterhood on the Eshcast.
On Tuesday, the J-pop and alternative hotspot hits your eardrums on No Borders, No Race.
Geek Aggro is coming at you on Wednesdays to fill what's left of your cerebral cortex with the hottest beats to get you on your feet.
Then you have me, Phil the Issues Guy, with the live issues program's post-episode recaps on live right after your favorite shows and taking all of your questions.
It's going down each week, only in the land of Ash. Nerdcore at its finest.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and Omnistry Inc. proudly present No Borders, No Race, The World's J-Pop and Alternative Hotspot.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of No Borders, No Race. I am your host, King Baby Duck. You know, it's not often I go see a movie twice in the theaters, but I did so with Avengers Age of Ultron. Such a great movie. I mean, yes, it's really hard to beat the first one, but Joss Whedon and the cast really did hit it out of the ballpark with this movie. Great action, fantastic CGI, some nice comedy, and a fine setup for the next chapter of the cinematic universe. Seriously, if you haven't gone to see Avengers Age of Ultron, do yourself a favor and just shut off this show and run to your nearest Cineplex. You know, if a movie is great, if you wind up paying for full admission twice in under a week. Honestly, I can't wait for the next string of Marvel films. Although, I'm still on the fence regarding that Fantastic Four reboot. It just doesn't mesh well for me for some reasons, but that's Fox's doing, not Marvel's. And speaking of comic book related stuff, I hope you all had a great free comic book day. I went over to Harrison's in Salem and picked up a few treasure troves of great selections. The Tick, Rabbids, Fight Club 2, Sonic and Mega Man, and a bunch more. Also there were Joe Haley and TJ Dort, the creators of the Underbirds. I grabbed the second and third volume of their series and am in love with the world they created. I know I've talked about their series in the past, but if you haven't read the Underbirds, please go to indieplanet.com and search for it there. Seriously, this comic is destined to be a hit. Anyways, enough chit-chat. Let's get the show started. Remember, as always, if you like what you hear and want to support these artists, you can grab just about all these albums and EPs from cdjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record store. We're going to start off today's program with the opening theme to probably my favorite anime this spring. Is it wrong to try and pick up girls in a dungeon? Here's Yuka Iguchi with Hey World.
Doki doki ga tomaru.
Orange with Tears of Honey from their 1999 release, Luminous Orange Super Plastic. They released a new album last year called Soar, Kiss the Moon, which you can grab from their official Bandcamp page. Okay, I may as well talk about it, seeing as news came out about it months after the Super Bowl, mind you. This shit is old hat by now, so why even bother talking about it? Well, because stupid, butthurt, anti-Patriots peeps, that's why. So, a 139-page report about Deflategate came out, and it was nothing more than a fucking shoulder shrug from the NFL commission. It's possible they deflated the balls, it's possible they didn't. Nothing clear came out of this report, other than the fact that there were a couple of Patriots employees that didn't quite like Tom Brady. And here's the thing, the report doesn't blame any of the Patriots or Bill Belichick, really. They say Brady might have known the balls were inflated enough, or they might have known that they weren't inflated enough. But that's the key term, might have. If anything, the blame should be placed on those who seem to want to sabotage his throwing game, according to these texts. So yeah, this report was just complete nonsense that wasted a whole bunch of people's time. And the rumors of Brady being suspended, I mean, for Christ's sake, the NFL has become a horrible, long, drawn-out joke because of this. Like one of those SNL skits that happens after the Weekend Update. Those really bad ones. So let's just shut the fuck on this, okay? The New England Patriots won the Super Bowl. They're the champs. Tom Brady's the MVP, and there is nothing any of you whiny dickwads can do about it. Just give up! You're just mad that your teams aren't as good. Admit it. You want the Patriots to fail because you can't stand to see the better teams winning. Well, guess what? If the team you root for wants to be the champs, they're gonna have to do more than accuse a better team of cheating. They're gonna need to work hard and fair. And if you can't accept that, then you just aren't mature enough to admit the truth. And those are my final thoughts on Deflategate. I won't be talking about this again, that's for sure. Just pretend it never even happened in the first place. Seriously, fuck all those people. Okay, let's get back to the playlist. And you know what? It is good to hear Modest Mouse again. After 8 long years of waiting, Isaac and the rest of the crew unleashed a fantastic new album called Strangers to Ourselves. Here's a track from that release. It's called Shit in Your Cut.
Thank you. ocean from an exoskeleton of our mothers. We arrive, soft, sticky, cold. We arrive and then start to cry.
Standing at the corner on the street, watching the moon turning free, waiting.
Beck Mongolian Chop Squad will find that song familiar. That was Beat Crusaders with Follow Me. It was a sad day when they disbanded back in 2010. I was a really big fan of their work. So when the Wii U came out in 2012, it was bundled with the game Nintendo Land. That is, if you bought the 32GB version and not the stupid 8GB one. When I played that game, I began envisioning what a real-life Nintendo theme park would be like. How cool would it be to interact with Mario, Donkey Kong, and Pikachu as you go on rides that will have you facing off against the likes of Bowser, Team Rocket, and Ganondorf? Well, wonder no more, because the dudes over at Universal Studios Theme Park is making it a reality. That's right. It was announced a couple of days ago that the beloved Nintendo characters would be invading all the Universal Studios parks across the world. That means Orlando, LA, Osaka, and Singapore will be getting quite the big push in attendance once these rides and areas are completed. That is, of course, if they don't royally screw up a great idea. We have been to plenty of theme parks or local yokel carnivals that have had licensed or semi-licensed characters featured in a ride, and it's left us with disappointment. That's why, with the goodness of my heart, I'm going to give Universal Studios theme parks all the main good ideas that will make the Nintendo areas a full-blown success. For starters, you have to build Princess Peach's castle. Yes, I know you got Hogwarts already, but this castle needs to rival both in majesty and in size of Disney's Cinderella Castle. Send them a clear message on who the real best princess is. Next, Mario Kart. Don't make just one track, build a bunch of the best ones for people to race in. We're talking Moo Moo Meadows, Electrodrome, Grumble Volcano, and the goddamn Rainbow Road. And have it so the carts have this, like, some sort of device to replicate some of the items. Not the dangerous ones, of course. Just ones that'll, like, stall a cart in motion during a race, give another player an advantage of sorts. Then, a Pokemon Water Park. Base it off of, like, Pokemon Snap, and a bit of Poképark. Very simple to do. For the Zelda franchise, you gotta have some Triforce interactive adventure game, in the same vein of those Five Wits places. You've also gotta have, like, a Splatoon paintball area. I know it's still a new franchise, but we all know that game is gonna be amazeballs, which I will touch on in the next segment. Hell, our buddy the DCD thinks there should be a paintball area based off of Splatoon, too. How about an Animal Crossing petting zoo? That just sells itself, in my opinion. Of course, you'll need spot pass areas for attendees to bring the 3DSs, and I feel this area would be the best spot to do so. A Fatal Frame haunted house would be perfect to bring some Japanese-influenced frights, probably the most heart-pounding kind. The final idea I have? A virtual reality Metroid simulator. Be given the chance to play Samus in the same vein as the Prime series and make it feel as real as possible. This is all you need to make your Nintendo attractions a success, Universal. Do it right, and I'm sure you'll break attendance records in no time. Now, did I miss any listeners? If you have an idea for a Nintendo ride or attraction, write to us at thebastards@bossandbastardbrigade.com with your thoughts, and we'll read off the best ideas on a future episode. Now, let's return to some music. Here's a little number from Ogre, You Asshole's newest album, Papercraft. It's called Rule Invisible.
I'm not done, no, my body. 間もない吐き出してもないルール気になるルール見えないルール無慈悲なルールどこでもルール冷たい
Now.
crime scene. That was Dizzy Rascal with the classic Fix Up Look Sharp from his debut album, Boy in the Corner. Now, in other Nintendo news, this past weekend they held 3 demo sessions for their upcoming game Splatoon, and I was able to get on for the first and third ones. Now, as someone who has played this demo in the past at both E3 and PAX East, I was stoked to try some more just 2 weeks before it launches here in the United States. At first, I was having trouble with the tilt controls, though, for some reason. However, it wasn't until about 30 minutes into the first global test fire when I realized the issue. I was sitting down. When I played Splatoon in the past, I was standing up, so it made it easier to handle the tilt function. So, after that kerfuffle, I was able to get back into the groove of things and take on my foes with ease. Now, for the global test fire, I was given the opportunity to test out the Turf War with a few other weapons in my arsenal, a favorite of mine being the Splat Roller. In fact, many of my friends love this weapon too. Watching your opponents get flattened out underneath was always a thrill to see, and I found it interesting that whenever two opposing sides with this weapon attacked one another, they both get eliminated. Now, I'm not sure if this is intentional or a bug, but at the moment, it adds an interesting strategy mechanism to the weapon. Like, the only way for a roller to take out another is to sneak up from behind. If not, both players get whacked. So after playing this demo for 2 1-hour sessions, it seems clear that Nintendo has another successful franchise on their hands. It feels good to play a shooter that's nice and colorful and not so gray and gritty. Yes, there's Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare, but that can get a little bit tedious after a while. What Splatoon does in its multiplayer mode is keep its players on their toes, making sure that they have more of their color splattered on the level than the opponent. It's a mechanic that spells victory or defeat at the very last second. In one instant, our team was off by a mere center point of the opponent's. I don't know if center point's a real word, but I'm going to use it anyway. If I had just splattered in just one little corner, we could have had the victory, but that was not the case. It's a challenge, but man, it's incredibly fun. Hopefully, the full game experience will be as superb as this global test fire was. I had no issue with the servers, and just about every time I jumped into play, there was a game ready to go into battle. But we'll see soon enough when Splatoon officially hits the Wii U on May 29th. Until then, the waiting game must commence. Okay, let's get back to the playlist. Here's a recent track from Kawaii Metal Queen's Baby Metal, which was co-written by Dragon Force. This is Road of Resistance. Lolita number 18 with Darlia from 2010's I Won't Give Up album. If you're in Japan next week, you can catch him on a short tour. For the official dates, go to www.lolita18.jp/live. All right, ladies and gents, it's time for another fun segment on Japanese trivia with our very own Sawa Sensei. Get ready, because here comes this week's Nazo Nazo Nihongo.
Hi, everyone. This is Sawa Sensei on Nazo Nazo Nihongo. Nazo Nazo Nihongo のコーナーへようこそ。今日も日本のポップカルチャーや文化についてみんなと学んでいきたいと思います。
I'd like to introduce Japanese pop culture and traditional culture and learn together with you all. Apart from my music career, I've been working in a company where people from many different regions coexist in the same floor. We have lots of online meetings together, people in various time zones, and in such environment, we use both Japanese and English almost half and half in our daily office life. And there are quite many chances that I accidentally use Japanese English, or so to say, Japlish. Japanese, but sounds like English. For example, have you ever heard the word golden week? Both golden and week is English word, but the concept or phrase golden week was invented in Japanese culture. A word constructed with elements from one or more English terms, such as golden week, is what we say here as Japlish. By the way, to those who heard the term golden week for the first time, I'd like to explain a little bit about it. It's a collection of four national holidays within 7 days, starting at the end of April until first week of May. In combination with weekends, Golden Week is placed as one of the biggest holiday season in Japan. And the rest of the two biggest ones are New Year's and Obon vacation during summer, which also lasts for about a week. The breakdown of Golden Week is, first one is April 29th, which we call Showa Day, Showa no Hi, which is former Emperor Showa's birthday. And second one is May 3rd, Constitution Day, the Kenpo Kinenbi. Back in 1947, the new post-war constitution was put into effect. The next national holiday is on May 4th, the next day of Constitution Day. And we call it Midori no Hi in Japanese, which means Green Day in English. Yes, it's just like American world-famous rock band Green Day, and I love them. They totally rocks, but this is also Japanese holiday name. I found it funny that if you type in Green Day and holiday in English and hit the search button, all you get is the information about this world-famous rock band, because they also have the song titled Holiday, as you may know. But nothing came out with the Japanese holiday on the first page. I also wonder if they know there's a holiday name with their band name in Japan. Until 2006, Japanese national holiday, Green Day, used to be celebrated on April 29th, on the birthday of former Emperor Showa. The day is dedicated to the environment today and also nature, because the emperor loved plants and nature. So, if you're talking about the Green Day, Japanese national holiday, that means you're talking about the day to think of environment or nature, which is a really good thing. Okay, let's move on to the next national holiday, which is also the next day of May 4th, which is May 5th, obviously, is a Children's Day, Kodomo no Hi. The Children's Day, Kodomo no Hi, is the boys' festival. We also have a different name for this as Tango no Sekku. It's celebrated on this day, and family pray for the health and future success of their sons by hanging up carp strings and display samurai dolls, and both symbolizing strength, power, success in their life. And as additional info, girls are celebrated 2 months earlier to Boys' Day. On March 3rd, we call it Girls' Festival Day, and we call it Hinamatsuri. And today, instead of onomatope quiz like we usually do, I'd like to go with Japlish quiz today. Lots and lots of weird phrases will come out, so be aware of it, and here we go. Do you know where I should go to get a big dumb ball so I can keep my old stuff safe and store in the attic or somewhere? Yeah, I need a dumb ball. Hint, I'm exaggerating a little bit to make it funnier. but the correct Japanese pronunciation of dumbbell is dumbbell. It's very commonly used word in Japanese, and somehow many of us think it's foreign language. Okay, time up! Dumbbell means cardboard in English. The first part, dan, meaning layers of papers in Japanese. And the later part, board, came from the English word board, like skateboard. I know it sounds completely different from the English speakers, but since we don't have this R and L differentiation in Japanese, every sound will fall into ru word in Japanese, like la di ru e ro. So, you can find an interesting change here. Danboru. Board to boru. Okay, let's move on to the next. Hey, can you help me? My chalk is broken and I can't take off my jacket. Yeah, this chalk, it's stuck. I like this acting thing. I start enjoying this. Well, chalk, we pronounce it at chak in Japanese. And the answer is zipper. Back in 1921, zipper was first introduced as a product name, chalk mark, in Japan. And so it's been called until today. And this word, chalk, came from the Japanese word kinchaku, which means purse in English. Because purse always needs to be fastened tight and secure so that we can keep our stuff inside nice and safely. Okay, next quiz, let's go. I am at the hotel right now and I just can't find the front. I need to check in right away and go meet someone outside, but do you know which way should I go to find the front? Okay, time up. The front, meaning reception in this sentence. I searched on the web and tried to find out the reason why we call it fronto, front of the hotel. It's like entrance of the hotel, but maybe that's the reason why, but I couldn't find the exact meaning and the reason or the history of the way how we start calling it fronto, front. So if any of you guys know, please let me know. Okay. Moving on next is about the hotchkiss. I wonder where I put my hotchkiss. I need it to put together my report and hand it by tomorrow morning. Where is my hotchkiss? Hotchkiss. This is another way of how the product name became a common word as a name of a thing. And the answer, the hotchkiss, meaning stapler in English. Because the first stapler that was imported in Japan was product of the company named E.H. Hotchkiss, which is American company. Okay, so the next question will be our final quiz of today's episode. And this time, two Japlishes are included. So listen carefully and here we go. I want to go shopping and get a new parker or trainer because I started running recently. Well, it can be either parker or trainer. I really don't care either with a hood or not. This quiz is actually from my personal trainer mistake experience when I was 16 years old when I was staying in Virginia together with my host family. It was quite an interesting conversation that I had with my host mother. She was like, "What? You need a trainer?" Okay, let's start by explaining the word parker, which we pronounce paka in Japanese. This word parka actually came from Inuit, and I have no idea why our ancestors happened to use Inuit word in years back and we still are using it today. But in English, this means hooded sweatshirt, paka. And the next Japanese that I used in the sentence was trainer, trainer in Japanese pronunciation. And it doesn't mean the person who trains you, but it came from the word training shirt. And it was shortened, like, yes, we humans love to shorten the words. So the word training shirt became trainer. Huh. Okay. Additionally, I didn't really mention about this one before reading out the quiz sentence, but there was another Japanese, which was hoodo, meaning hoodie. You might want to be careful not to mix up the word food and hood, when Japanese are speaking. Because just like la, li, lu, le, lo sounds, H-O and F-O sounds will be the same in Japanese, like ha, hi, hu, he, ho. So, the food, like dog food, will be also hudo. So as hoodies will be called hudo in Japanese. But they're probably not talking about food when they're talking about hoodie. Just like Japanese hashi, bridge, and hashi, chopstick, and hashi, edge, has almost exact the same sound. Could you tell it? Hashi, bridge, hashi, chopstick, and hashi, edge. So you need to guess which hashi you're talking about from the sentence before and after. It's always very interesting to take a deep dive into the commonality and differences of culture one another. Hope you found it fun to hear some Japanese-specific English like Japanese phrases Japlish today. Thank you very much for your listening, and as always, please feel free to send me or King Baby Duck any request to be focused on a future Nozzle episode. See you guys on the next episode again. Bye-bye. Thank you. Mata ne.
Arigato, Sawa-sensei. And if you have any questions you'd like to ask her, please be sure to write to us at thebastards@bossatbastardbrigade.com with the subject line, Ask Sawa-sensei. Now let's get back to this week's playlist. It's been 3 years since MCA of the Beastie Boys passed away following a lengthy battle with cancer, and it still hurts to know that we probably won't be hearing anything from those legends ever again. Here's a cut from their genre-changing Paul's Boutique album called What Comes Around.
You've gone wet, look crazy.
Man, switch your head.
You fucked around and wound up with the Boston head. You're all mixed up like Pasta Primavera.
Yo, why'd you throw that chair at Geraldo Rivera, man?
Who's one man's ceiling?
Is another man's floor.
Yo, check that money out, trapped.
Well, I brought it upstairs
onto the roof. I talked to wife and she asked.
Why you wanna beat that track with the back? Why you wanna
Kessler with Maybe Love from their Love and Roll LP, their final release before disbanding a couple years later. Well, that about wraps up this week's episode of No Borders, No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bash Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, song requests, if you're in a band and want to be featured on the show, or if you have any questions for our friend Sawa Sensei, you can write to us at thebastards@bossabastardbrigade.com. You can find me on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com and on Twitter at king_baby_duck. Like us on facebook.com/bossofashbrigade and facebook.com/landofesh. For all other articles under the gaming and geek realm, go to egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. And don't forget about the other shows under the Land of Esh, including the Electric Sisterhood, Geek Aggro, and the Issues Program. We started with the world, and now we're going to end it with the world, as Bump of Chicken have released a new single for all of us to enjoy. It's the opening theme to the anime series Kekkai Sensen. It's called Hello World. And until next time, this is King Baby Duck reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard. But it sure helps. あなただけが確かおはようこれからまた迷子の続き見慣れた知らない景色の中で もうダメって思ってから割となんだかやれてる死に切らないくらいに勝負なんかちょっと恥ずかしいやるべきことは忘れててもわかるそうしないととても苦しいから顔を上げて黒い目の人君が出たから光は生まれた選んだ色で塗った世界に囲まれて選べない傷の意味はどこだろうご自分だけがヒーロー世界の真ん中で終わるのってずっぱりステージの上どうしよう空っぽの振りもできないあの友のポッパここあの友のポッパここ覚えてしまった感覚思い出とは違う類もっと涙のそばにあっていつも心臓つかまれてて理解できてるずっとそれと一緒そうじゃないと何も見えないから息をつなぐ生きる強い人止まる心